this is an impatient man. I mean, come on, like a pig in slop.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting the Ira Kaufman podcast. Timeout for payments going on right now at Bill Curry Ford. No payments for up to 90 days. All new Ford vehicles are eligible. BillCurryFord.com. And thank you to the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. The weekend is here. That means Florida's best craft beer should be in your hand. Big Storm Beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. Find their tap rooms. Odessa, Cape Coral, Clearwater, BigStormBrewery.com. The beer's all over town. Look for it right there on their website. And Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call. If you have any sort of disaster in your home, they're mold remediation specialists. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Buccaneers fans, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here, and we're sitting with the sage of Tampa Bay sports just 11 days from the free agency frenzy when that moment will come on Monday. The tampering window will open and out will fly. 37 contracts immediately being signed because they're being negotiated right now. Exciting times with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you today? We're all jacked up. Episode 2 of this week. We got so much to talk about, angles, nuances. How are you?
You know, Steve, I think your point's well taken about the jacked up, the exciting times. As I sit here in my cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford, nice and cozy, nice and quiet. This year, without a doubt, the free agency scenarios are far more intriguing for this franchise than, you know, the draft. And that is not the usual case at One Buck Place. Usually, you know, they got the ninth pick, they got the fifth pick, and there's a lot of excitement because whoever they take at that number is going to be somebody that people are familiar with. And now, that's probably a long shot. I mean, if they take, you know, some kind of defensive tackle from, you know, Oklahoma State, the odds are people aren't going to know this guy. But everybody is focused on free agency. It's going to be here before you know it. They got a lot to do, short period of time. Obviously, they got their game plan. But I'm waiting for the first domino to fall. I mean, in Pittsburgh, we got the Roethlisberger situation. It's under control. We got cost certainty. We know what's going on. In Tampa, we don't. Part of it, the Bucs are better than the Steelers. They got more players to satisfy than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at the Saints. Lee, the Saints are having a fire sale. Every other day, they're getting rid of somebody. I don't think they're going to be very active in free agency. I think, Lee, I know it sounds crazy. Absolutely crazy. The Bucs play their cards right, Lee. They could own this division for the next 2 or 3 years. Yes, they could.
I don't think that's an outrageous comment unless David Tepper, your favorite owner of the Panthers, Ira, stinking Panthers, I might add, David Tepper somehow or another pulls off a deal for Karen Watson. I know he wants Karen Watson very bad, but that would be the only obstacle in the Bucs owning the division for a couple of years. Yeah, the Saints are in bad shape. Dixie Chicks are in a bad shape. So, yeah, this is the Bucs division. Even if they lose a couple of named free agents, which I certainly hope not, but it's possible, the Bucs should own this division for a couple of years. Should.
Now, Lee, I agree with you about Tepper. I've gotten to know the guy a little bit. I was in Atlanta. You guys were nice enough to send me up to Atlanta about 3 years ago during a May meeting when I had a nice one-hour private meeting with the Glazers. And at that meeting, David Tepper was announced as the new owner of the Panthers. I could tell right away from that first press conference, this is an impatient man. This is an aggressive guy, you know, one of these hedge fund guys. They're almost all the same. They can't take losing. They won't accept it, which is a good thing if you're a Panthers fan. And Lee's going to do everything in his power to get you know, Watson, Russell Wilson. He doesn't want Teddy Bridgewater. We know that. But, Steve, does he have the capital? Do the Panthers have the capital? I mean, they'd have to give up 4 number one picks. I mean, what else do they have, Steve? They got McCaffrey.
And they got some good young defensive players.
Yeah, they'd have to give up a ton, Ira. And if it happens, it happens. I'm really not worried about the Panthers in 2021. I just have to admit that right now. And they'd have to overhaul their offense in some ways because it still revolves around McCaffrey, and the Bucs have shut down McCaffrey consistently for a couple of years now. So I'm just not worried about them. But I do want to go back to Ben Roethlisberger, since you mentioned him. I wasn't going to go there, but as you said, they're all set now in Pittsburgh because Roethlisberger cut his compensation from $19 million to $14 million, but it saved $15 million the way they did it in cap room for the Steelers. Yes. He was going to count like 40 something million against the cap. And now they've, done the corporate accounting, and all of a sudden they can spread it out over multiple years the way they did it. Cause they gave him a big signing bonus up front and poof, they picked up $15 million in cap room. Well, that's a great illustration of what the Bucs could do with Tom Brady if they decided to extend his contract for two more years and did some fancy accounting, and all of a sudden, okay, we got an extra $12 million this year because this is what we did with Brady. But here's the catch, Ira. In order to pay those signing bonuses, your ownership needs to be able to write a check immediately. And the Glazers have not liked doing business that way. They've preferred the guaranteed contracts over the years, and they may not be interested in stroking $40 million in checks next week just for the sake of being able to spread salary cap room over a handful of years. And Bruce Arians, I wrote about this at Joe Bucks Fan a couple of weeks ago, he made a really cryptic comment in one of his interviews saying, if ownership gives us, what we need. And that only referred to money, and it may be money up front. The Glazers may have to tell Jason Light, hey, you got $50 million in signing bonuses to work with. Do what you got to do. Or they may tell him you got 30 or you've got an open checkbook. So it's an interesting new development in Pittsburgh that ties to the Bucks.
No question about it. Lee, I would argue that raising that Lombardi trophy and knowing that Brady's going to come back and knowing how good Brady is still after all these years, I think there's going to be a relatively open spigot from a Glazer perspective in terms of money up front. The prestige of winning back-to-back Super Bowls hasn't happened since the 04 Patriots. I mean, for a reason. It's really hard to do, as the Chiefs just found out. And the Glazers are like, pardon the expression, Lee, like a pig in slop. Like a pig in slop. The publicity next year, the merchandise sales, the attendance, the Bucks are the number one story in this league, and they don't want that to fade with an 8-8 season because you wouldn't pony up. And, normally, Lee, the problem is, you can't get the quarterback to agree, defer money or whatever and help you out. That's not the case with Brady. He's got a track record of what he's done in Foxborough. He's certainly not going to put his foot in the sand and draw a line and said, I'm not doing that in Tampa. Of course not. Of course not. Not at this stage in his career. Not with the chance to go back-to-back. So, Lee, I don't want to speak for the Glazers, and you always say it's easy to spend other people's money. But I just think everything's changed now that, in the past, if Jason Light asked for that from the Glazers, Lee, then the Glazers had every right to say, what's your track record? How do we know this is going to work? I don't think you can say that anymore, Lee.
Well, obviously, I think the Glazer family is wise enough to realize that Brady's shelf life is very short, and you want to take full advantage of that. And you're probably not going to take full advantage of that by cutting corners and pinching pennies. And with Brady, money is not the issue. However, the issue with Brady is how long does he want to do this? Which brings up something that happened the night after we had recorded this, your last podcast, Ira. Brady admits after the Bucs won the Super Bowl and his wife runs on the field and hugs him, the very first thing she said was, what more do you have to prove? Uh-oh.
And what did he say to her, Lee? What was his response?
I can't recall off the top of my head, but if I was the Glazers, I'd want to make her happy, because we know that he went on, he being Brady, went on Howard Stern's show and told the king of all media that his wife probably would have divorced him if he didn't quit going to OTAs with the Belichicks. So it's pretty clear she wants him out. Then I saw a video this week, I don't know how many years old it is, maybe 3 or 4 years old, where she was on Ellen's show, Giselle, and she was openly talking about how he needs to retire. So I know Brady has said he wants to play till he's 45, but what does Giselle want? And oh, by the way, they just bought that pad down on Indian Creek Island for $17 million. I don't think they bought a timeshare for $17
million. Lee, you misread the story. They bought the whole island. They bought the whole island. No, I'm kidding.
So Ivanka Trump's renting from them now?
Well, when Lee said that, and I know he wrote it up for Joe Buck's fan, but I took the quote as something naughty. You know, I didn't think it was about football at all, you know, when Brady said that. So, but I know what Lee means, and it's just a big mystery. You just don't know, you know, what's going on and how that could change in their house from year to year. You know, she could flip flop and you know, want him to keep going for some reason. You know, we don't know.
Steve, I think there's a quantum difference between Tom. I don't want you going to OTAs. You got to spend more time with your family. And to go from that to Tom, I want you to announce your retirement from professional football. I don't think Brady will go there unless he doesn't have the passion. When he doesn't have the passion, or he can't play at a certain level that he's comfortable with, that's when he'll or he gets hurt. That's when he'll call it quits. But Steve, football means too much to Tom Brady. I don't think Giselle, and she's got a strong voice, as she should, in that household. But, Lee, when it comes to the guy retiring from the craft that he loves and he's so good at, I don't think she can decide that for him and be the deciding voice on that.
It's like you, Ira, in your house. Like, you always want to retire, and your wife is like, Ira, you're the sage. This is all you are. This defines you. Joe Buck's fan is where you're going to die, and you keep working.
Well, it does work like that, except what she says is, you're not retiring, because if you do, you'll drive me crazy. So keep working. That's the message I'm getting.
Exactly, Sage. And I'll point everyone to last podcast. If you haven't listened yet, of course, it's at joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, various other places. Ira now lives in his car, and his cherry red Ford Escape is where he is recording this podcast, as he mentioned. And that's his new home, because things aren't going too well at Shea Kaufman. But Ira, of course, you know, I'm not even going to do a real Bill Curry Ford commercial, quote unquote, today. I just want to say that, you know, Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, that's the family name on the dealership. They're real people, more than 60 years in Tampa. They love our community. They take care of our community. They've got a new food drive going on this month at Bill Curry Ford. They do so many things that we can't even have enough time to mention. And our good buddy, GM Sean Sullivan, he just wants to help Bucks fans. He gets excited if you're a Bucks fan. He wants to get you in the truck you want to be in. He wants to answer your questions about a lease, about a used car, about getting your kid into a car, whatever it might be. Sean is there for you. Consider him there for you for everything. In addition to the great staff, the 100-plus people that he manages at Bill Curry Ford and all the things they do. So BillCurryFord.com, start shopping there. Check out their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles and reach out to Sean. Just don't even hesitate. If you say Ira said to call you, or Lee said to call you, Sean's going to call you back in 5 minutes. Well, maybe not 5 minutes, but he's going to get back to you same day, and he's going to say, how can I help? So take advantage of it, people. BillCurryFord.com.
Make sure you ask Sean about the importance of Shaq Barrett.
Oh boy. And you better have a half an hour when you ask that question. And Steve, you know, over the years, Bill Curry Ford's been very, very involved with the Buccaneers. Steve, whether it's coaches, executives, players, they've formed great relationships over the years. And, you know, new Buccaneers come on the team, and the next thing you know, they're driving a Ford from Bill Curry 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry.
There you go, Sage. Ira, I wanted to run this past you. It was sort of unique, but it makes a lot of sense, and it's not something we think about often during free agency. But first, I did want to tell you, Ira, that I'm not sure I agree with you. As painful as it is to say, I look at the Saints, They've got a top five defense. They've got one of the greatest offensive coaches in recent years. They got a smart front office, and they went 12-4 last year, and their famed home field advantage is coming back next year, where, let's face it, no team really had a great home field advantage this year. I don't think the Saints are a team to write off, and I can't sit here and say the Bucs are going to, you know, are in position to dominate for the next couple of years. I hope they win the division next year, the Bucs. I think it's fun to place them as a favorite. I just don't really know if they are.
Well, I will grant you that they've had the Buccaneers' number, and that includes two games against Brady during the regular season.
Not winning the really second, counted.
Yeah, and the second one was absolutely a disaster. You know, one team didn't belong on the field that day, and it wasn't the Saints. But, Lee, they could lose Trey Hendrickson very easily. If they let him hit the market, he's going to go, and somebody's going to pay him a lot of money. I don't think he's as good as Shaq Barrett, but he's good. Just ask Donovan Smith, Lee. I don't know. I mean, life without Drew Brees, although we don't know if this darn guy is going to retire or not. I'm not sure at this point, Lee, and I think this is a fair question. I never thought I would say this, but if you're a passionate Buck fan, you might want Drew Brees to return, Lee. You might. Mm. I mean, you know, they were undefeated, Lee, the last couple of years in games that Brees didn't start. You know, 7-0, something like that. Bridgewater went 5-0 in 2019. And he has no arm left. Lee, Brady's got a lot more arm left than Brees at this point, I think.
Oh, of course. Yes, he does.
You know, maybe he hurt his rotator cuff last year. He got banged up, but that's going to happen. Steve, they're good, but they're not. I don't think they're elite anymore. You mentioned the Bucs handle McCaffrey. They also happen to handle Kamara pretty darn well, too. And I don't know what's going on with Michael Thomas. They just dropped Jared Cook. They need a tight end. I don't think they're the same team that's ruled the NFC South.
And I was going to say, Ira, look, I'm not trying to say that I don't think the Bucs are top dogs in the NFL. I just can't say that they're in a position to, you know, just sprint away from the NFC South for the next 2 years. I think that home field and, you know, everything broke right for the Bucs in a lot of ways this past year. And, you know, they've got to re-sign these guys in free agency, because if they don't, they're not as good of a team. It's just that simple. If you
right.
if you have your big right. eight and you keep five, don't tell me that you're as good as you were before. Guys can emerge. You know, team gets smarter and better. And I am looking forward to the draft, because I think they really need to get one impact starter out of this draft.
Well, you could say that about any team, Steve. You certainly could, including the Packers, Chiefs, you know, Rams, whoever you want to name. The Bucs are the best team in the NFC South, Lee, in my book. Now, we will see if we're still saying that in about 3 weeks, Lee. It's going to be interesting.
They're the best team in the NFL.
Absolutely.
I can't believe I actually said that, but it's true. And by the way, the NFL Network, as we're talking, I'm watching the NFC Championship game. What a beautiful thing it was to see Aaron Rodgers go back to pass, being hounded, absolutely hounded every time by JPP or Shaq. Man, he'll absolutely kill me if Shaq gets loose and gets away from the Bucs. But how awesome was that to see, man?
And they did it to him twice, Lee. They did it to him twice. And Steve, you know, Lee sounded off about this the other day. I agree with the Kemper. You may not. But and I'm not saying a majority of Buck fans, Steve, but they're out there and they're vocal. There are Buck fans who think that Shaq Barrett is fairly easily replaceable on the free agent market. I hope they don't think you're going to get a dynamic edge rusher at number 32. That's folly. You might, but you can't bank on it. There's some guys in free agency, but to me, I think Barrett would be the best guy out there, and if you lose him, you're going to have a drop-off.
Ira, I'm not even going to touch on this. We hit it last podcast, and we're all in agreement. I mean, come on. You don't throw away an elite edge rusher at 28 years old and roll the dice like that, especially with JPP having chronic knee injuries on the other side. He's a warrior. We love him, but come on. It's a no-brainer. It's the no-brainer of no-brainers. And hopefully the Bucs have the brain to throw the money at Shaq if they have to, if they have to do that. Ira, you know that losing Shaq Barrett would qualify as an absolute disaster. And when you have an absolute disaster in your home, wind, water, mold, fire, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately for a free assessment 24 hours a day. You make the phone call, you go to their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. They are professionals. They are the number one company in the Bay Area handling this kind of stuff for homeowners. And they go the extra mile. They are honest. You can trust them. That's what you need in your time of crisis. So you don't get ripped off, because that happens all the time. It happened to me personally, but you can feel protected. They're better than the rest. FloridasElitereStoration.com is the website. FloridasElitereStoration.com. We know them, Ira.
You know, Steve, and our listeners need to know this. The key is, if it's something minor, they're not going to try to tell you that it's something major. And that's the one fear that people have when they go to a car mechanic or something like that, that they're going to get ripped off. Josh, you know, hires good people. They're honest, and they'll give you a fair assessment.
FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira Lee, what I wanted to hit you with, you know, Jason Light, before Tom Brady got here, Light was pretty clear. Hey, Brady's going to impact this organization for years. We hope, what he puts into these young players and both sides of the ball changes the culture and lasts forever, long beyond Tom. It sounded great. It sounded like, you know, unbelievable stuff when he was saying that last spring. And here we are, and it seems very believable. But on Sirius Radio the other night is a new co-host, a guy a lot of people know and a friend of Brady, Shane Vereen, the running back for 3-4 years with the Patriots, another guy that Brady made famous throwing balls to out of the backfield. He was a Super Bowl hero, caught 11 balls in that Super Bowl win against the Seahawks. And he was talking about Bucs free agency, saying, look, don't worry about losing Levante David, because you just draft a linebacker that you get in there, be smart in the draft. And the more young players you can stockpile, the better, because Brady is going to groom these guys on going to work every day, expecting to win a Super Bowl, and nothing else is successful. And that's the key to Brady, is getting in the heads of these young guys and raising the bar so high that it creates its own dynasty. And if you want to just keep bringing back old players, you won't get the long-term impact. So don't be afraid of losing one or two. And he pointed out Levante David. What do you think of that?
If he just got that job, I think he's in danger of losing that job, Lee. That's some of the silliest stuff I've heard during this offseason. Yeah, Lee, we all know the Brady effect, the Brady aura. Yeah, we understand that. But to think that, you know, they're going to sign a free agent inside linebacker or draft one this year when they got the last pick in the first round, and because of the Brady effect, that guy is going to approach the skill level of Levante Day. I mean, this Brady thing can only go so far, Lee. He can't help the guy tackle somebody. He can't have the guy do a form tackle or cover Kamara, you know, on the fringes. I mean, come on. I understand what he's saying about Brady's effect on young players, but they need Levante David. It doesn't mean they can't win 11 games without him, Lee. But they're a darn better team with Levante David, in my opinion, than anybody they're going to pick up to replace Levante David, even with Brady patrolling the hallways at one buck place. I mean, let's not go crazy about this Brady effect.
Well, there might be a very, very obvious piece of evidence if this is not an outrageous comment. And by the way, whenever I hear this guy's name, I don't know why, but I think Ben Vereen, I can't help. Didn't he play Chicken George, Ben Vereen in Roots?
Did he also starred in Pippin on Broadway? Pippin.
That's getting way off my radar.
That's my nickname. Nickname for his bits. Pippin.
What does that make me? Michael Jordan? I mean, Pippin had to have a sidekick. I don't know.
Ira went to high school with Ben Vereen's older brother.
Well,
continue.
Want Levante David back, obviously. I'll say it again. Who in this area that has a voice, has a platform, beat the drum about Levante David getting screwed over year after year for a Pro Bowl than me? I don't think there was anybody. And I say that with a lot of pride. I really believe that. I want Lavonte David back. But darn it, outside of Tom Brady, there's Father Time. I'm, you know, what I'm going to say is going to piss people off, and I don't mean to piss people off. I don't think Lavonte was peak Lavonte last year. He was very good. Don't get me wrong. But he was not peak Lavonte. Peak Lavonte, you could have, at least I think so, you could have a sober argument that he may have been a Hall of Famer. He was that good of a player. Now, there's some chatter out there that, and one of the people saying this is Daniel Jeremiah, if you lose Lavonte, go out and draft this Nick Bolton from Missouri. Now, to the point that Ben Vereen was making about, and I said that on purpose, that Ben Vereen made about influencing younger players, I turned to Mr. Isbitz and the podcast he stumbled upon with Tristan Wirfs. And what did Mr. Wirfs say, Steve?
I caught him on this podcast called Hawkeyed, and when I first looked at it, it had 13 views after about 12 days. So I did it some justice. But he did this obscure Iowa podcast and really talked about how he played the entire 2020 season in fear of getting Tom Brady hurt and in awe of his presence and all that it meant to the team, and subsequently raised his game. He also said Brady is just such a general, and you know, that when he said something, and Wirf snapped his fingers, he just said everybody completely listened, and he had these different gears of you know, it was totally intense at all times, and then game day, and then all these different levels of intensity, and you know, just it's obvious that Wirfs was following along to the general and learning exactly how it has to be done, because there was no other possible option.
Steve, I want to make one more point about Ben Vereen over here. I really don't understand it, Steve, in this respect. Yeah, they got to get younger is his point. You know, the guy's 31 years old. Steve, you know who's got to get younger and get rid of the 31-year-olds? The Jets and the Jaguars. That's who's got to get younger. They're in rebuilding plan. The Atlanta Falcons, they're in rebuilding plan. They got to get younger at quarterback, at wide receiver. Okay, the Bucs just won a Super Bowl, Steve. Lavonte David's one of your key players. I think we all agree with that. Not your best player, but he's one of your key players. And to replace him with a 23-year-old that's not as good, Steve, you know, Lee made the point 10 minutes ago. They got a short window. They got a Brady window. How long's a Brady window? 9 years? I mean, let's be reasonable here.
All right. Lee said that, hey, I might piss some people off with what I'm going to say. Right. What I'm going to say right now is going to sort of counter Lee a little bit. And I know that this might be committing Buccaneers heresy. I might be thrown out of the fandom for this. This might be just some sort of a disgusting smear on Buccaneers legends, but I'm going to throw this out there, and because I think it's valid, and I think the comparison is very timely. In 2003, Ira, Derek Brooks was 30 years old. He played nowhere near the way he did in 2002 at 29 years old when they won the Super Bowl. His numbers were down. The defense wasn't what it was. The last couple of games they played, they let up 30-plus points, and he did not make All-Pro for the first that year, and he dropped off in 2003. Now, he was still a star player, a lot like Lavonte David, but he wasn't what we were used to watching. And then Brooks bounced back at 31 and 32 and was back to All-Pro and was back to, in some ways, the way he was before. So I'm just going to throw that out there that I think a guy at David's age, you know, you can, have some years where you're very good, but maybe it doesn't mean you're completely falling off, because, you know, that is what happened to Brooks.
I understand your points. Now, Steve, you also have to mention, to be fair, in 02, Brooks was the defensive player of the year. I mean, that's a high standard, Steve. He had a season for the ages, so if he slipped from that, he still could have been pretty darn good.
Oh, I'm not saying he was bad. I'm just saying he took a step back at 30 And if Lavonnie David took a little step back at 30, I think he can still take another step forward. It's a philosophical thing, real quickly. Philosophical thing. Are the Bucks in it all in for next year? Damn the future. If that's the case, then you got to bring back Lavonnie David. If you're all in for next year and nothing really else matters, and as Arians, you know, would use some colorful language and say, F 2023, then you got to bring back David.
You guys had a good analogy with Brooks. He tailed off a little bit the year after winning the Super Bowl, but he was still, you know, a star. And then, of course, he rebounded after that. The reason why I said it about Lavonte, I remember a play 2 years ago. Lavonte was 29, maybe 28. The Bucks are playing the Browns. Close game. Browns are driving. They needed a touchdown. It was, early to mid fourth quarter. And the skies opened up, in theory, for the Browns. The left side of the field was wide open, and it was fourth down, and Baker Mayfield decided to run for a first down. It looked like he was going to get the first down with ease. There was nobody in front of him. Lavonnie David basically comes out of nowhere, chases him down, tackles him from behind, 2 yards short. Bucks get the ball, the turnover on downs. I don't know if that same Lavonnie David played last year. I mean, Lavonnie David was good last year, but that was peak Lavonnie David. I don't know if he could chase down Baker Mayfield right now like he did a couple years ago when I saw him. But it was at Raymond James Stadium, and I remember even Cutter was saying that was the play of the game. And he was basically saying, you know, that's what Lavonnie David is. He's that kind of a player. You know, he's a game changer. So you guys, I think, you're making a good analogy. Brooks wasn't peak Brooks in 2003, but he was good.
Fair point, Lee. And Steve, as far as the all-in, of course they're all-in. But, Steve, if all-in means that Lavonte David won't take a two-year deal and instead is determined to hit free agency and think he can do better, then I wish him luck, Steve. Then I wish him luck. You got to make smart decisions. Of course Jason Light and Arians want Lavonte David back. Of course they do. But, you know, they got to make a smart deal for the organization. And you can't give, you know, a linebacker with that many years of pounding a 4 or 5 year deal. Steve, it doesn't make any sense.
I got you, Ira. It's one of the more interesting things in this Bucks decision-making process. A year ago, Jason Light declared, "I hate free agency." And that was for different reasons. But this year, I think he's going to hate it because he's got to look at players he loves, players he brought in, players he wants to pay and say, yeah, we can't pay you. And I'm sure Light's an emotional guy. We've heard him since the Super Bowl. He's talked about tearing up and all kinds of things. I'm sure he's going to be weeping over these next days, but hopefully it'll all work out. But here's the funny thing, guys. I know you both saw it. NFL Network reporter Mike Garofalo just the other day wrote about how Lavonnie David is, he's from what he's hearing, he's probably out the door. A lot of interest in him outside of Tampa. You know, it's not looking good. Then Garofalo comes back on the air on Thursday and gives this bizarre sort of a heartfelt but weird explanation that I watched what I said the other day on TV and I was all wrong and I'm taking it back. You know, the Bucks are still working hard to sign Lavonnie David and they're not done, quote unquote, making their push. Ira, is it safe to say either Lavonnie David's wife called up Garofalo, somebody from One Buck, or was he paid off? What does this mean when a reporter goes on the air and does this weird about face in less than 24 hours?
I thought it was absolutely bizarre. I mean, it's a classic video. I don't know if he was talking about something that he wrote, Steve. I thought it was more something that he said because he said he was they were going to break and he had to say something quick. That was a speech that belongs in the U.S. Senate. It was that crazy. That was something one of these weirdo Democrats or weirdo Republican might say in front of a gavel. Somebody got to him, Lee. My guess is it was somebody from One Buck Place that doesn't like the idea that it's getting out there out of control, that maybe there's this feeling that the Bucks aren't really that interested in bringing Lavonte David back. And they don't want that message going out to David or his agent. So that would be my guess, Lee. But the guy was turning himself inside out. It was a very, very strange mea culpa.
You know, you're right, Ira. The one that really cracked me up, he tried to say, we were going to a break. What's that have to do with misinformation? You know? But, what? Then he said he talked to somebody. I was even going
to
say.
He did. Then he talked to somebody. Yeah,
he talked to somebody. And the first thing I thought of when he was doing perfect terminology, Ira, this is why you have your popular podcast, the Mea Culpa. The first thing I thought of, someone from One Buck must have really chewed his rear end up.
That's what because, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to go on national television and come up with a weird, weird excuse like that, what it was, 24 hours? 24 hours after, I mean, do a complete flip-flop in 24 hours, basically said, my bad, I was wrong. He must have really got chewed out by somebody. I'd like to know who that was, but that's the first thing I thought of. Someone called him out and just reamed him a new one for saying that. That's good.
And Steve, you know, the crazy part of the whole thing is he never said Lavonne David is not going to be a Buccaneer. He never said Lavonne David is gone. He never said that the Bucs weren't interested in retaining Lavonne David. So, you know, I'm not sure he needed to apologize in the first place, Steve.
Exactly. The whole thing was odd. And it was as if he said, you know, everyone will pardon my language. It was as if he said, well, you know, sometimes when you go to break, you make shit up. It's like, what?
You know, That's what I thought.
It just, the whole thing made no sense. And then he almost had the audacity to say, I've talked to some people. Well, after all this, couldn't you tell us who you talked to since nobody believes you anymore? Couldn't you say I talked to some folks down at One Buck Place or something? Can't, you know? It was just bizarre, really.
I heard a podcast with SI Media podcast with Jimmy Crania and Mike Florio, and Florio was talking about how every once in a while some owner will get hacked off at him, and rather than him calling the owner, calling Florio directly, he'll call someone at the league office, and then, you know, crap rolls down here, hill, and after about 2 or 3 weeks, and Florio might hear about it long after the subject was you know, got somebody hot and bothered that owns a team. And I almost thought, would the Glazers actually call someone at the league office? Then the league office would call NFL Network and chew out Garofolo? I don't know, man.
Well, I think the Glazers would probably talk to Nelson Lewis, you know, Vice President of Communications, let him handle it. Yeah, Steve, I got a question, Steve. I got a question for you. And I know we touched on this the other day, but I'm not sure I asked you directly, Steve. I'm a little curious about your view on this. Antonio Brown, obviously, I don't think Tom Brady has changed his mind about Antonio Brown. It wasn't like the guy was a stiff. So my question, Steve, is this. If, as expected, Brown re-signs with the Bucs, and I think it would be a surprise if he doesn't, not that he's going to get a lot of money, but if he does, Steve, and once that is done, that's a domino that falls, maybe next week. Steve, do you think that has a direct impact on, you know, the value of Chris Godwin to the Buccaneers?
First, I'll sort of reject your premise because I think Antonio Brown is going to have at least one or two other teams that would like to have him. And while he's not going to get number one wide receiver money anymore, I think there are teams that would love to pay him $8, $10 million and take a chance, you know, to give him sort of low tier number two wide receiver money. So
Pete Carroll and Sean McVay.
Yeah. Or in, I mean, you could pick a lot of teams that might be interested in taking a chance because Antonio Brown represents potentially, Ira, the best value in free agency this year. I mean, he's a guy who could, nobody would be shocked if he went out next year and caught 80 balls, 10 touchdowns, 1,100 yards, and you could probably get him for $8 million. So,
but there's a risk, Steve. There's a risk to Brown.
There's absolutely a risk, but still, I think the Bucs are going to be so tempted by the value because they'll believe that Brown will behave in Tampa. They don't care what he would do somewhere else. I don't know. I really don't know, Ira. It all comes down to how much money he's going to command. And if he's willing to play for like $8 million, I don't know how they're going to feel about bringing in Godwin for $20 million if they don't have to, and it might affect somebody else they take. So I really don't know. It really comes down to how much money he wants.
I'd be shocked that there wouldn't be a couple of teams kicking the tires. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if Sean McVay wasn't sniffing around Antonio Brown. You don't think Sean Payton would love to get his mitts on Antonio Brown? I mean, yeah, I know the Saints are in trouble financially. Has the salary cap ever stopped them? And seemingly never. And what better team to go after than the team you're going to have to fight for the division title?
Steve, wouldn't there be a feeling prevalent? I'm not saying all 31 other teams, but wouldn't it be a widespread feeling that, hey, we don't have Tom Brady to keep this guy in line, so he could wreck us in the locker room, and the Bucs are lucky that they got Brady that Brown respects and vice versa? And couldn't that be the feeling around the league, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure most teams are scared of him, or you know, the majority are like, I'm not signing Antonio Brown. That guy's a nutcase. But after what he did this past season, are there a couple of teams beside the Bucs? Yeah, I would wager that there are at least a couple of teams that would be willing to throw some money at him who are trying to win now, and you know, in the same situation the Bucs were in. Hey, we'll take a chance because we're desperate to win immediately, even if this guy isn't high character or we run a risk.
You know, one thing we haven't mentioned, guys, just quick, because we talked about the slot receiver, if Godwin does depart via free agency. I was a little surprised, guys, that the Titans gave up on Adam Humphries. I mean, isn't that turn out to be a mistake by John Robinson, or they didn't use him right? I know he got hurt a little bit, but I thought they'd hang on to him a little bit.
I think it's salary cap casualty.
I mean, is he making that much, Steve?
Well, he was making a lot of money, but he was hurt last year. You know, he played pretty well the year before, but nothing like he did with the Bucs. But they didn't throw to him that much. So I think it was more a function of the offense, because he, in the last 2 years, I would bet that he didn't get the targets that he got in the year that he left the Bucs. So I find it hard to believe he wasn't getting open. I don't know. But, he'll get snapped up pretty quick.
He will. He'll get snapped up.
Ira, got to remind everybody, save the date. Everybody knows when the night of the draft is. That's going to be our big event at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 3,000 square feet of outdoor seating, covered, fully covered, modern. What a fun place it is. And they have live music every Friday and Saturday night if you want to go check it out in advance, sort of scope it out. And, of course, the indoor tap room is a blast. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, and it's going to be one hell of a party there. But, really, you can eat there anytime, A-plus food. Same thing up in the tap room, no outdoor seating, but in the tap room up in Odessa and down in Cape Coral. Orlando's about to open. Big Storm Beer. Try it. It's out there. Well, what can I say, Ira? You love the Tropic Pressure Golden Ale. You love to stuff your face at Big Storm. Take out, pick up, at the tap rooms. So much fun. We love Big Storm Beer. We appreciate the guys over there. And now they have Big Storm Vodka, Ira, and Blood Brothers Bloody Mary mix, and they've got whiskey. It's just incredible.
Bring it on, Steve. You know, Lee has not had a chance to experience, but Steve, you and I have had a blast at some previous Buccaneer draft parties, and, you know, it's a great atmosphere over at Big Storm. I think it'll be even better at Big Storm on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton. You know, all our friends are going to be there, and you're going to be sharing it with Buck fans. And that really enhances the excitement of draft night. We might have some special guests, Steve, but we're going to be pressing the flesh. We got shut down last year, Stevie. We got shut down by COVID, but we've bounced back off the canvas, and I'm really looking forward to it, Steve.
Yeah, Big Storm's fired up about it. And Ira, the funny thing is, you watched every road game at Big Storm Clearwater this last year, but you weren't there for the playoffs. One, because you weren't under contract. And two, I know COVID was raging at that time. But bottom line is, I'm still getting emails, people saying, what an amazing time it was for the playoffs and the Super Bowl and Big Storm, and we got to do that again. So, I mean, it really made an impact. The energy through the playoffs was off the charts. All right, Ira. Now, look, Lee's had some fun this week writing about Tom Brady throwing the Super Bowl trophy. Now, that's old news, but what's newer news, and I'll set it up for Lee here, is Jenna Lane of ESPN, your very good friend, Ira. She reported what would have happened if Cameron Brate did not catch the trophy and it fell to the bottom of the drink there. Now, I've had many Bucks fans reach out to me saying that it's only 35 feet deep versus the 75 or 80 that's been discussed. That really doesn't matter, though. What Jenna wrote is that team sources told ESPN that had the stunt gone awry, the Bucks would have ordered a replacement trophy. My first reaction was someone was messing with Jenna and she believed it. And then my second reaction was that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever read, because why would you not just go down and get it? I mean, it's nonsense. Why would you just leave it there? I mean, Lee, take it from there.
I just can't believe the Glazers. Well, I assume the Glazers, but, you know, I'm going to guess that Jenna spoke with Nelson Lees, who's the media relations vice president of the Bucks and who's the main liaison between the media and the team, that she learned that the Bucks, and when I say Bucks, I'm assuming the Glazer family, because they'd be cutting a check, that the Glazers and the Bucks were going, yeah, just leave it there. We'll buy a new one. I just, that's $50,000. And what I... Okay, I had heard it's 75 feet. Brady said it was 80 feet. It's not like it's 300 feet. I mean, I've dove down to 95 feet, and I'm still talking. It's not like it's impossible. You know, there's all kinds of shipwrecks that people dive off the keys that are 95 feet, 100 feet. Well, it's not that impossible. And I just can only imagine the absolute feeding frenzy of people trying to get that trophy. Now, Ira, you know more people than I do that have disposable income. You imagine what they would pay to have that Vince Lombardi trophy in their office, in their home den, wherever. I mean, I just can't imagine what that would be. Like some guy, a commenter on JoeBucksFan.com said, think of the fight underwater fight scene in Thunderball. That's what it would have been like.
You know, Steve, the first thing I think about when the Kemper's describing the scene is, Sean Sullivan makes a quick call and takes a quick scuba course. You know, one of those introductory scuba things where they can then take you out for a one tank dive. And the next thing you know, Sean Sullivan in full gear, you know, with a couple of tanks, is going into the briny, Steve. And I'll tell you what, if Sullivan and nine other people are fighting to get that trophy, my money's on Sullivan. The general manager at BillCurry.com and BillCurry.com. And Steve, the whole thing is hysterical. You know, I love Brady's having fun with it. He's talking about his 8-year-old daughter is the only one that had any sense out there during the boat parade. And I think people are going a little too crazy over this. If Brady was drunk on his ass, he wasn't piling in the vessel. Nothing to worry about over there. And I don't have a problem with what happened. And thank God, you know, Cam Brate's got good hands, Stevie.
Well, first, just to clarify, it's BillCurryFord.com. You got so excited there, Ira. It was like an old comedy episode. But like Lee said, it's worth a ton of money. They could have even just fished it out and auctioned it off for Bruce Arians' charity rather than leave all tens of thousands of dollars at the bottom of the river, where you'd have all sorts of wackos going down there, cave divers trying to pull up the trophy. So
that's right.
It was just silly. I don't believe for a second that the Glazers made and spoke to the people down the chain saying, "Hey, we would have just bought a new trophy and just left that one at the bottom of the river."
You know who might have taken a dive for that? DeMar Dotson might have gotten in some scuba gear, because he missed out on all the festivities. At least he could have got a piece of it. But
hey, Ira, before we get out of this podcast, and we'll go out on this note. And, of course, your podcast is presented by BillFordCurry.net. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, is ready for you. And as we heard before, we love our folks at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's your first call. You know, I think the Glazers might have even called Florida's Elite Restoration. You know, any disaster, this would have qualified. And they probably would have found a way to get it out of that river. But seriously, Sage, you talked to DeMar Dotson this week. You hung out with your friend there, got some information for your latest column, which is at JoeBucksFan.com. Your impressions from DeMar, maybe beyond what you wrote in the column, Ira, because a lot of people have looked at that already. And, You know, obviously, guy spent 11 seasons with the Bucks. He walks away from the team. They don't want him anymore, and then they win the Super Bowl.
Well, the first thing that strikes me, and Lee can vouch for this, is what a class act he is. And there's a reason why he was a go-to guy for all of us after Buck games, especially losses, right, Lee? Everybody wants to talk after wins. What struck me the most was, you know, he actually told me that he was glad that Tristan Wirfs, Lee, turned out to be such a fantastic rookie rather than him being replaced by a bum.
Oh, I didn't think of it that way.
That would have really bummed him out because he would have been able to say, I could have done better than this guy, but he couldn't say that about Wirfs. In talking to Dotson, and he didn't say this, but I certainly got the impression, he kind of knows that Wirfs is better than him. So I think that's fantastic. We've talked about Wirfs so much on these podcasts, but to hear Dotson have nothing negative to say about the guy that replaced him when he didn't get a chance to participate in a Super Bowl championship season. Lee, between Dotson and Anthony Becht, and most importantly, and you know this, Lee, Ian Beckles, who I've said before could find fault with Walter Jones and Anthony Munoz, you know, with their technique. And Beckles just says that Wirfs is absolutely phenomenal. And that's what came out of my conversation with Dotson. He still wants to play, Lee. I think somebody will pick him up on the cheap, maybe as a backup. Great locker room guy. But he could easily have been bitter, Lee. I mean, putting in 10 years, all the losses, and now he's gone and they win a Super Bowl. Plenty of reason to be bitter, Lee, but Dotson's not that type of guy, Lee. He always seemed to accentuate the positive, and he never ripped anybody in that locker room.
No question. He was a great guy. And as far as Beckles, I believe I'm quoting him correctly. I believe it was Beckles. He was talking about Wirfs. He said his technique is, and this is a direct quote, beautiful.
Yes.
Ira, before we get out of here, how's the diet going?
Steve, let me say it. Steve, your technique, Steve, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you, Ira. How's the diet going? What are we down now so far? What are we down?
I'm off a pound and a half. Like a pig in slop.